raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons.
This is Healing the Whole Person on WSFI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio. Call now with your question, 224-585-WSFI. That's 224-585-9734.
Hello, I'm Father Bob Sears, a former professor at the Jesuit School of Theology in Chicago and also at the Institute of Pastoral Studies at Loyola University. And so I'd like to speak today about the role of suffering in healing. Oftentimes we think of healing as something to get rid of suffering, but that's not always the case. Sometimes the suffering is something that really shouldn't be there and needs to be healed. For example, the Lord healed the man by the pool in John 5 and said, you know, after he was healed, he told him, you're healed now, sin no more, lest something worse befall you. So the suffering in that case was an indication that he needed healing. So sometimes people come to us for healing precisely because they've experienced suffering. And so that, in that sense, it was a good, and it was a reminder from God that we need healing, that we need to be transformed. But sometimes suffering also is intercessory. It's for other people. Sometimes it's something that we need healing from. Sometimes we're picking up the pain of somebody else and that they need healing. So we need to reflect on the role of suffering in healing. It isn't always to be opposed. We really need to listen to it and to ask God what God is intending through that particular type of suffering. The first principle that I think it's important for us to really think about is that for those that love God, all things work together for good. That's Romans 8:28. So if we really love God, then the sufferings that we have are not meant for evil, they're meant for good. Because nothing can happen that God doesn't permit. There's a book by Merlin Carruthers, I've mentioned it before, called Power and Praise. And that was the early part of the renewal, 1970 it came out. He makes the point that when we really praise God for whatever happens, then God's healing can take place. And he starts with a story of Jim and his family. Jim had been praying for his father to get free of alcoholism for 30 years and nothing had happened. And so when he heard Merlin Carruthers, he spoke to his wife and he said, you know, we've never thanked God for the role that my dad's alcoholism was going to play in his conversion. And so they decided to do that. They took a day and they just thanked God for the role that the alcoholism of their father would play in his conversion. And he came that Sunday, as they usually did. He usually went early to have his drink after dinner. But he stayed around and asked about the Jesus Revolution. And they got to talking. It was late when he got home. And I guess he didn't have time for his drink. But in any case, 3 weeks later, he came to Jim and said, you know, I've got a drinking problem and I need to get help. So they prayed for him. He got free of his alcoholism and then began to tell everybody else about, you know, the role of thanksgiving and praise. So what was the role of, what was that alcoholism doing in his life? It was bringing him to a point where he could recognize he needed healing. And when he asked for the healing was given. So that's important for all our illnesses, really. Nothing can happen to us that God doesn't permit. You know, God is almighty, and nothing even exists if God forgets about it. So if God's letting it happen, and God is good, he means to bring good out of it. And that includes even spiritual oppression or other illnesses. They all have a meaning. And sometimes even physical suffering can have a particular meaning. You know, I had that, I had tongue cancer some years ago, almost 15 right now, and I never smoked, and I never, did anything I should think would elicit tongue cancer. So I prayed about it and asked the Lord, to show me what he was trying to teach me through that, besides the fact that if I didn't get it dealt with, I might die, because cancer is a kind of a last-ditch admonition from the Lord, So I prayed about it, and it turned out, at least what I came up with, is that I didn't speak my pain. I had, in the womb, I said I wouldn't be a burden. I've mentioned that, and the pain of that was very deep, and I wasn't speaking about it. I wasn't bringing it out into the light. And so I realized I really needed to get into a group that would deal with attachment pain. And so I was part of a group for a number of years. And as that was getting healed, I didn't need the cancer anymore. So I had no recurrence of the cancer. So that was one indication of physical suffering that carried a meaning for the whole person. And then there's suffering in relationships, because all healing ultimately is a need for a deeper loving relationship. We're made in the image of the Trinity, and God is love, and he's made us in his own image. So without love, life is meaningless. We have no reason to live or to exist. And so that will be triggered in any deep relationship, because if we didn't get the love we needed when we were children, then any deep relationship is going to trigger that wound. And usually what we've done is to repress that pain, because it can be very overwhelming, as I found from what I said in the womb, I won't be a burden. That turned out to be a very intense pain, and I didn't realize how deep it was until I was in my 70s. So and that's with a lot of healing. So these deep wounds where we don't feel received and loved, we repress them, and then we go along on a certain surface level, but any deep relationship will tend to trigger that, and will bring it out into the light. And that might feel, first of all, that we have to go get therapy, but oftentimes the therapy doesn't get at the wound. It just kind of covers over the pain, or we deal with the relationship, but on a certain level, but not at the deepest level. So we're finding more and more that at the deepest level, oftentimes our pains, our addictions, our sufferings are trying to get a healing at a deep level. Some therapists call it primal pain, and that they found through working with people with primal pain, if they can get them to relive that situation, then not only do they get healed of certain illnesses, like cancers ultimately, even when the primal pain is in the womb, the cancer might show up when they're 60. Because if we don't deal with it, the body's going to reveal it at some point, and then we have to deal with it. So the cancer itself becomes then a call to get healing. And the healing is to get back to the primal pain, or back to the deepest pain that is being covered over by that wound, or by that particular the wound that is revealing it. And then when we deal with that wound, when we bring it out into the light, in the company of somebody that companions us, that reliving of it then frees the body to resist its own illnesses. The body doesn't need the cancer, doesn't need the illness anymore. And so one starts to experience healing. So there's a number of other principles that we can talk about, but I'd like to just invite you to speak yourself, to ask any questions that you have. The number to call is 224-585-9734. Do you have any questions about the role of suffering in healing? Have you experienced that? Have you wondered what God was trying to indicate to you through a particular suffering that you might have experienced? So call in if you have any question, 224-585-9734, WSFI.
Listen at 7 o'clock p.m. every Tuesday to WSFI Spotlight, a half-hour conversation with outstanding Catholics from our community and around the world. WSFI Spotlight re-airs on Saturday at 3:30 p.m. or listen on demand anytime by subscribing to our podcast. Visit WSFIradio.org for more information. It's WSFI Spotlight, a conversation with Catholics living in the light, only on WSFI Catholic Radio Tuesdays at 7 o'clock p.m.
Are you retired or near retirement? Do you want to keep a larger amount of your assets in a safe place with guaranteed interest rates to protect yourself from a huge market swing? Are you amazed at how low the interest rates are at your bank? If you said yes to any or all of those questions, you may want to call me, Matt Tomlinson, at Catholic Financial Life to discuss our guaranteed fixed rate annuities. Call 847-548-MATT, 847-548-6288. Products not available in all states.
My name is Father John Grigas. I'm the rector of the Shrine of St. Max and Colby at Marytown. I'm a priest, and as priests, we are responsible for forming you in the presence of Christ through the sacraments, through the preaching, through everything else. But you are the Christ that goes out into the world and brings the good news. And WSFI is one of the main means. And so God bless all that WSFI does. And please support WSFI in whatever means that you can so that this wonderful station may continue to broadcast the good news and evangelize our culture.
WSFI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio is committed to bringing quality Catholic programs to our local community. We only can do that with your financial support. Take a moment now to donate online at WSFIradio.org or mail your tax-deductible donation to WSFI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio, P.O. Box 885, Libertyville, Illinois 60048. That's WSFI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio, P.O. Box 885, Libertyville, Illinois 60048. Donations of any amount are greatly appreciated.
Hello, this is Father Bob Sears, and I'm your host for this afternoon. We have a call from Joan, and she'd like to ask a question. Joan? Is Joan on the line with a question?
Hello, Father.
Hello. Yes.
Hello, Father. Can you hear me?
Yes, I do.
My name is Joan, and I know you. We're good friends. I was out to dinner the other night with a couple, and their granddaughter is four and has some serious sleep issues and intestinal issues. So that her life, her four-year-old life, she's been in hospitals so many times, she hardly knows another life. There's a lot of suffering, and the parents sleep with her, take turns, and so on. How, I've been praying so hard. Her name is Jane. How would you counsel these parents to pray for Jane? Thanks, Father.
Well, of course, every case is unique, and so we have to go into not only for Joan, because she picked this, or for, is their name the baby, or the child's name Joan? What's the child's name? I guess we don't know who the what the name of the child is, but whoever the child is, and she's around four, then we need to look in the family system, because the child probably picked up some unfinished business in the family system. That's what I would suspect. And so if the child has picked up something in the family system, then if I work with the parents and work back through their generational system, in other words, what do they have that swallowed that's dealing with her stomach, for example, with how she's swallowing? Has she picked up other issues? When the parents' own issues are repressed, some child will probably pick them up and will be living them out in themselves. And so it's not necessarily an issue just for the child. It's an issue for the family system as a whole. So all our illnesses, for example, one of the reasons for suffering is intercessory, that we pick up the pain of our system, or we respond to the pain of the system in such a way that it brings pain on us. For example, when I said I wouldn't be a burden, that was in response to the fact that my mother felt burdened because she didn't have good mothering from her mother. And she wasn't really well supported by my father, as good meaning as he is, because they didn't know how to support each other, male, female. That was a whole issue that they didn't know. And if parents don't support each other, if they aren't, in a sense, an emotional support for each other and share the burden of the children together, then the child is going to be brought into carrying that burden. And that's what needs to be looked at, because it won't respond simply to praying for the child. One has to pray for the whole family system and see where that burden came in, because it might not be caused even by the parents. They perhaps were experiencing the pain and unfinished work of their parents back through the generations. So you really have to look at all suffering in light of not just the individual who's experiencing it, but in light of the family system, where they haven't really dealt with these deeper issues, that gets projected onto the children. And then the children's children, just as it says in Scripture, that the sins of the, not that these are necessarily sins, but these are wounds, and that's similar process, are visited on the children unto four generations. Fortunately, the blessings to 1,000, so that when we deal with those wounds and issues and move into the Lord's healing, then they get healed. So thank you for that question. It's a very good question. We have also an email from an anonymous person, and the son has stage 4 prostate cancer, and he's not a believer. Can I pray for them, or can you pray for them? Yes, we can pray for all people, but in the way of intercession, I mentioned that in the last program last month on intercession. One of the ways of praying for intercession is not simply to pray for the other person, but because these issues are often generational, we pray for the wounds in the relationship or in the generational system. So a prostate cancer, the prostate, one of the things that can be related to is kind of a wounded masculinity. So a wounded relationship with the father, and that might go back for generations. Maybe his father was wounded with his father, etc., so that we could pray for that. In any case, sometimes we don't know what to pray for, and we simply ask the Lord to show us, what are you teaching us, Lord, through this particular illness, and what do we have to do to deal with it? Now, whether the person is a believer or not, these principles are operative whether the person believes it or not. You know, if, for example, there's something that's undealt with in a family system, that will impact later generations, whether they happen to believe that's true or not, because nobody can be forgotten. Everybody has to be remembered, and this is one way of remembering issues that are back through the generations. And that's the negative part of it. The positive part of it is if we do get healed, that heals back through the generations too. So that one of the ways of interceding is to say, okay, most cancers I take as being some kind of suppressed pain, just as it was in my tongue cancer. It suppressed, I didn't speak my pain. So if a cancer is a suppressed pain, and that there's some wound back in the system, whether it's a wound with masculinity, the fathers really never were honored, or they didn't get empowered to speak out for themselves, whatever, then one can pray that that would be strengthened in oneself. Because we can't really pray for other people unless we let God do it in ourselves first. So whether this person is a believer or not, the people who are praying are believers. And so we can pray that way and ask God to bring that healing to the person. So we could do that right now because they asked if we could pray for this person. And so, Lord Jesus, we thank you, and we do ask that you bring into the light what it is this suffering is supposed to teach them, what it is that it's calling attention to for healing and transformation, and it's always love of some sort. So we ask that you would heal that love, especially in the men of the family system, that you would heal the relationships of father and son, that you would heal the relationship of mothers so that they could release their fathers to the son. Sometimes there's conflict between mothers and fathers, and so they have a difficulty of really celebrating when their son is deeply related to the father. Because it's important for the mother to give the son to the father in order to have that deep relationship. But we pray, Lord, that that would happen, that people would recognize where love has been wounded, and would ask you to come in and bring healing, first in themselves, and then let that healing flow back into the son. Because the son doesn't need to believe so much, is because he needs love whether he believes it or not. Because we're made in the image of the Trinity, and the Trinity is love. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. So these are some examples. If there's any other questions, you can see that this could go in many different directions. We have another question here from Angela, and from a microphone in the studio. And so, Angela?
Hello, Father Sears. I love your show. Thank you very much. I don't know if there's anything out there like this. I have two questions, actually. One is, we have a dear friend that is suffering from thyroid cancer. It started in his thyroid, and now it's spread pretty much through most of his body. And we're wondering, how should we pray for him? And then the second question, which I'll get in for you to think about, is I know so many women who are suffering from panic attacks and anxiety. And I was just wondering if you had some thoughts on maybe what the origin of that would be and how we should pray for them.
Okay, yes. Now, the thyroid cancer, there is a book by Louise Hay called You Can Heal Yourself. And she has pages there of these different illnesses and what they might be signifying. And I would have to look it up as far as what the thyroid is signifying, but whatever that thyroid is signifying, and it may well be, since it's in the throat, it may well be also speaking or letting one's pain become aware, you know. And so it's a bridge from the body to the head. So we would just say, okay, Lord, whatever that is, if there's a wounded, say, ability to speak out one's emotions, or they got caught in our throat and they can't talk about them, then we ask, Lord, that you would heal that in us first. And then that would then free our voices, Lord, and free our ability to respond wholeheartedly so that we could bring healing to the thyroid, Lord, and whatever that deeper meaning for the thyroid is. And we ask that through Christ our Lord. Amen. And then for the other, let's see, I would refresh me what the other question was, the second one that you mentioned.
It's the prevalence of women who are suffering from panic attacks.
Panic attacks, yes. A panic attack, everything is about the future. And when we, these can go all the way back into the womb, really, because the one can be panicking just to get born, you know, because it's an unknown, and perhaps the baby was stressed in the womb. And so the panic attack, in a sense, is something I can't control. And so if I can't control it, it's usually earlier than my mental capacity. There are different levels of the brain. And the brain, when it's a mental problem, the problem of meaning, then it would be understandable. That's a rather high level of the brain. Then you have a feeling or emotional problem, that's a mid-level. But when you have things that you can't control at all, there's the deep fear. And wherever that fear happened, it might be in the family system, it might have been picked up in the womb, wherever it was, we just pray that the person would, first of all, that the panic itself, the wound, would guide one to the source. Because the suffering is not something to get rid of before you listen to it, but that you would listen to the panic and let it take you wherever the source and origin of that panic was. So it's like, you know, you have a campfire and the smoke, and it takes you to where the fire is. So the smoke is guiding you to where the fire is. So the panic attack is taking you to where you are really feeling out of control about the future. And something is shocking you, and you don't know. So it's, again, one of these primal pain situations, and you don't know how to control it, and you think you're supposed to control it, and that's the way you've always done it. And so you panic because you can't do it. You don't know what it is. One of the healings for all of these things is a deeper trust. But we don't trust if we aren't loved, because you have to know you're loved in order to really let things be. And so one of the deepest healings is to really know and to ask for the grace of God's love and a deeper trust, so that God really, if one can be convinced that nothing happens in our life that God isn't allowing to happen for some good purpose, and when we begin to let that in very deeply. Sometimes it takes a while to get that deep trust, because we might have lost it with regard to our parents. We might have expected something from our parents and didn't get it, and made a decision we can't really trust. And so then we have to do it, but we can't do it because we don't control the future. So we get panic. So we need to get right at the root. And again, when we intercede for yourself first, so that you could have a deeper trust that God is present in all those situations, and then you could intercede and let release the person to God and pray for the gift of trust to be in that person too. And so what I would do, and I'll just pray for those situations, and so Lord, we just ask that you would release these people into a deep trust, because you've given us, Lord, your father and your mother as our father and mother through baptism. And they're totally trustworthy. And nobody does anything the Father doesn't permit. And nobody can do anything that they aren't ordering towards love, because those that love God, all things work together unto good. And so we release them, Lord, into your love, and ask that you would free them, to bring them into the fullness of your presence, and that you would bless them. We give you thanks and praise. Amen. Thank you, Lord. And we pray for everybody on this program, that they would be touched by the Lord, that His love would touch them, bring them the healing that they need. We ask that through Christ our Lord. Amen. Thank you very much. Thank you.
been listening to Healing the Whole Person on WSFI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio. For more information about this program or to purchase additional CD copies, please call us at 224-206-8455. That's 224-206-8455. Or visit us online at WSFIradio.org.
Your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease.